You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
Happy Easter. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that we celebrate that Christ is alive, bringing new hope and new life to the world. God has conquered sin and death, and so we gather to rejoice. But on that first Easter 2,000 years ago, there was doubt and there was fear. Matthew's gospel tells us that the women were afraid. Their leader was dead, their hopes were dashed, and they came to the tomb. As they got there, they saw the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty, and the guards were afraid as well. Four times in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, four times we hear about fear. But the angel gives them a strong and clear message: do not be afraid. Now, do not be afraid is one of the most consistent messages of Scripture, appearing dozens of times throughout the Bible. And quite often the teaching is paired with the promise of God's presence. For instance, as Joshua was preparing for battle, he spoke God's word with the people, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The prophet Isaiah offered God's word to a people in exile, saying, "Do not fear. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I am the Lord, and I love you." And we hear this pairing of "do not be afraid, I am with you" in Matthew's gospel as well. Remember, the gospel opens with the promise of Jesus being born with his name to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. At the conclusion of the gospel, we hear the angel saying, "Do not be afraid." And then we hear the promise of presence at the very end of the gospel, in the end of Matthew chapter 28. Now, remember, when Jesus was arrested, tried, convicted, and killed, the disciples scattered. They ran away in fear and doubt, doing their own version of isolation and being safer at home, as it were. But after the resurrection, Jesus gathers those disciples back together, and the very last thing he says to them, according to Matthew's gospel, he tells them this great commission. He says, "Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and remember, I am with you always." Now, it's important to notice, in all these ways that the Bible says, "do not be afraid," it's not saying there's nothing to be afraid of. On the contrary, the Bible is very aware of this, and we're aware of it, that life is a scary thing. Life can be hard, life can be challenging, life can be painful. Things happen that can make us afraid. But God is promising to be with us in those scary places, in the valley of the shadow of death, in the hospitals, in the cemeteries, in the pandemics. God is saying, "I am with you." It's like the old saying, "If you're going through hell, keep going." The crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus are an example of that for us. Years ago, Presbyterian author Frederick Buechner made a wonderful affirmation, an affirmation that's very relevant for us today on Easter Sunday and in our current situation. Essentially, he was saying, "The worst thing isn't the last thing. Things will get better." The hope of the gospel and the promise of Easter is this: we move from crucifixion to resurrection. God is in the process of bringing new life and new hope to the world. Do not be afraid. God is with us. One of the things I love doing as a pastor is baptizing babies. Sometimes in conversation with parents, they'll say something about how they're glad to have a baptism which will protect their child. I gently and lovingly tell them that I wish baptism had the power to protect a child from all evil and all bad things that might happen. Instead, what baptism does is it draws us into the covenant community of the church together, and it reaffirms God's abiding presence with us, so that in baptism, we are together with God. We are with God forever. God's promise to be present with us no matter what reminds us of what a good parent does in the midst of scary times. Like the child who's terrified of a thunderstorm, sitting in their room alone, shaking, fearing, trembling. But in the arms of the parent, the child feels calm, the child feels peace. A parental hug won't make the storm go away, but the hug helps the child to get through it. We've had some stormy times lately with this coronavirus here in Wisconsin and around the world. It's a scary time. It was more scary, I think, this week in Wisconsin as we had elections happening in our state. Like many people, I was surprised, disappointed, and even a little angry that those elections did happen and they weren't postponed. You might know that our church is a polling place, and we were open, one of the ones that was open in Madison, and a couple of our members were poll workers there. A couple of our staff members worked hard to make sure it was a safe and supportive environment for the elections. I'm grateful for the ways that they risked their well-being for the common good. Other church members were poll workers elsewhere, including my wife. I'm proud of her, but I'll admit, I've been a little nervous about the whole situation. She was exposed to a lot of people over the course of that day. When she went off to do her work at the polls, I sat at home and I posted on social media. I was feeling a little bit afraid, a little bit concerned, so I asked people to pray for Wisconsin, to pray for the healthcare workers, to pray for the poll workers. I was overwhelmed with the response. People from all over the country, all over the world, praying for our state, praying for our poll workers, praying for our family. People being inspired to continue to do what they can to make this a better world. The storm continued, but I felt supported, encouraged. I didn't feel alone. In these challenging times of coronavirus, I've seen all sorts of examples of people supporting and encouraging one another so that we don't feel alone in the midst of the storm. We might be apart physically, but we're together in spirit. I see us coming together with all sorts of phone calls and emails and cards that people are sending to one another. We and the church staff are doing our best to reach out to members who might be isolated, especially older members who don't have the benefit of the internet, making a lot of phone calls. There's one person on our list who I actually haven't called yet, but I've learned from others that this person, in her isolation, is making phone calls and reaching out and offering words of encouragement to other people. She's even taking the church directory and picking random names and just calling people to chat, to encourage and support one another. What a blessing. Other people are coming together in this time of scarcity and fear, and they're responding with generosity. Maybe you heard about Jack Dorsey, the CEO and co-founder of Twitter, who's donating $1 billion to coronavirus relief, something like one-third of his net worth. That's pretty inspiring. Now, most of us don't have $1 billion lying around that we can share, but we do have ways that we can be generous. One young couple at Covenant who still have their jobs, who haven't been impacted by this coronavirus situation, have offered $1,000 to help families in need with groceries and rent and medical bills. Other families are already having conversations, recognizing that they might not need that stimulus money that the government's sending out to people. And so they're discussing ways which they can share that money with families and people who do really need it. With our generosity, we show that we're in this together. One of the other blessings of this challenging situation is, ironically, that people are getting to know their neighbors better. Did you hear about the Madison man who has a dance cam in his driveway? I kid you not. He's gotten some chalk and written on the driveway, put a big X in the middle of the driveway, and invited people to stand there and dance. He's got one of those Ring security cameras, so he's recording the dancing and sharing the dances with people, providing some enthusiasm and a little joy in the midst of this challenging time. What a blessing. We've been walking a lot in our neighborhood here, chatting from a distance with a lot of people, people that in the past we've just sort of passed by and not really interacted with. People are offering to run errands for one another. People are smiling at one another and waving at one another in ways they weren't before. One of our neighbors even offered a spare bedroom in their house for us if we needed to quarantine. I'm grateful for these blessings, for the neighborliness that's being shown at this time. And together, in our church and in our neighborhoods, we're living out the good news that proclaims, "Do not be afraid, I am with you always." We're trying to be with one another. Right now we're in the midst of a storm and it's scary. We're afraid. And let me reiterate, if you're hurting right now, if you're having a hard time right now, please contact our church. Please reach out, contact someone, a church staff member, a friend, a neighbor, a family member. We can get through this together. We all have moments when it's hard and we're scared and we feel down. We'll all do what we can to support and encourage one another. Today, Easter Sunday, the sanctuary at Covenant is empty. No one is at church. It's not the way it should be. On Easter Sunday, our sanctuary is ordinarily filled with people, with flowers, with joyful music, and with too many kids who've had jelly beans for breakfast. We're apart, but I sense, even though we're apart, there's a sense of togetherness. Last fall, we celebrated our 65th anniversary as a congregation, coming together to give thanks to God and to recommit ourselves as God's people, to learn God's love and to share God's love. We took a lot of photos that day, and one of my favorites is the one of everybody sitting out in front of the church waving, a sense of welcome, a sense of togetherness, a sense of support. Our church communities, like many other communities around the nation, around the world, where people are coming together to support and care for each other in this challenging time. So I'm sad that we're not together today, but I'm glad we're spiritually together. I'm glad we're together through the internet. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God has conquered sin and death, giving us new hope, sending us out into the world together, like those first disciples, to combat the forces of death and evil with a message of good news and hope and peace. So we live and we share it as best we can. Friends, do not be afraid. God is with us in the storm. We'll get through this together. God is with us now. God is with us always. Alleluia. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for being with us in the storm, in the valley of the shadow. Comfort us and strengthen us so we can comfort and strengthen other people around us as we follow our risen Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we have our time of offering. It's a part of our worship service where we intentionally remember how God has offered God's self to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, how God has offered us the gift of life. And so in response, we think about how we can offer ourselves, our time, our talent, our treasures to serve God's purposes, to serve God's world. As the music plays, I invite you to take a few deep breaths and prayerfully ask God how you can offer yourself to share God's love this week. Let us worship God with the offering of our lives and our very selves.